If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek. We're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' 23-6 win over the Minnesota Vikings and their overwhelmed quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Eric, before we get to McCarthy and the Vikings issues, I'm thinking the first thing...
Overwhelmed? That's saying it pretty mildly.
that is pretty mild. Let's start with that. Does this win mean much? I mean, it's a big dub, you know, it's a big notch in the win column. But it's not like they beat a good team, right?
Well, didn't the Vikings beat the Lions not too long ago?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember though. Was McCarthy the quarterback in that game?
I think it's good enough. They must be good enough to beat the Lions. I mean, I believe the score was 19-17, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, that means that defense, you know, held the Lions down pretty good. I don't think that's a bad defense.
Yeah, McCarthy did. He played that game.
So he played good enough to beat the Lions. That defense yesterday, Sunday, that defense was pretty dang good. They were playing well. You know, they've been playing well pretty much all season. The only game where, you know, they kind of had kind of a blip in the road was Dallas, really.
And, yeah, they ruptured for 40 in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, and the offense gave them some points too there. So let's call a spade a spade. But the reality is that defense that they're marching on in the field right now is playing pretty darn good, and the run fits. You talk about, you know, they got Gibbs and he's going to do all of this and he's going to do all of that and he's this and that. I don't know. The only guy that really ran loose on him was the Dowdle kid from the Panthers. I think that kid's a pretty good running back, and not that these other guys aren't, or Gibbs is a bad running back. I just feel like the run fits are so much better than they were in the past. And not only that, you got a great guy in Evan Williams who's coming up and playing the run, you know, like a maniac from the secondary spot. So there's a lot of good things to be excited about, and you know, and looking at this victory too, you know. You don't get to the point where you can just tee off on the quarterback unless you stifle those guys for the first half. And now, you know, that's what you want to do. Your offense runs the heck out of the ball and keeps the clock moving, and they're trying to scramble around and throw the ball all over the place. And you could just, you know, guess what, gentlemen, it's time to go get the quarterback, and you don't have anything else to worry about. So it's, It all kind of comes together. I believe the term that we hear is complementary football. I think the Vikings, the Packers put the Vikings in this position, and you know, that's not you can't knock the Vikings. That was the defense played a amazing performance.
You know, the hard part though is getting that two score for these guys. Is getting that two score lead. They really hadn't done it since the second game against, you know, when they played Washington in week two. And once they got up by two scores, I mean, then it was just, it was over. It was a slaughter on that quarterback. The only thing I question is, cause I look back and against Detroit, they jumped out to a 10-0 lead and they made Goff's life miserable the rest of that game. But when teams can both, have both the run and the pass available to them, you know, they do, they have a decent chance. And so I just wonder if they're going to be able to jump on the Lions like they did in the first game, or at least get ahead of them by two scores early in the second half, like they did against the Vikings. I think that's the challenge, because when you got Micah Parsons, man, his value just, you know, goes up exponentially, you know, when they're – when it's just rushing the passer.
Well, that too. And the other thing that you saw yesterday, you saw some – actually some pressure looks from Jeff Hafley, and that is something that they have not done much throughout the course of the season. And, you know, if things get out of control – on the run game, they can just bring, you know, send pressure and you know, linebackers and cornerbacks off the edge to slow that run game down. Everyone thinks a blitz is just for the quarterback, but you know, you have run blitzes as well where you're going to.
Yeah, he definitely ran a couple run blitzes, that's for sure.
So you're going to see some of that, I think, Thursday morning and early afternoon, and you know, the whole kit and caboodle is all going to be whether or not they can get Goff moving around. We know, have seen Goff enough times. We know what's going to happen when he starts moving around. The ball is going to come out of there, and it's going to be up for grabs. So that's going to be the whole key, is whether or not they can move him around. You know, some people think, oh, can the secondary hold up? It doesn't matter who you have in second and playing in your secondary. If the quarterback can't throw the ball if he's on his back. So it's going to be really important to get out to the quarterback. But the reality is to keep Gibbs in check, heat up the quarterback, and, you know, they should be just fine.
Yeah, they may not have Keyshawn Nixon. He was unable to return the game from the – they announced it as a stinger, a shoulder stinger, during the game. They listed him on the injury report today, which is Monday, with a neck injury. He would not have practiced had they practiced today. They won't practice all week. They'll do a walkthrough tomorrow or jog through tomorrow. But we don't know if he'll play. You know, Kamal hadn't replaced him. I'm not sure that's who I would have guessed they'd gone with. I would have thought when they ended camp, Bo Melton was the number four corner, so he would have been the next one in. I can't say I noticed Haddon out there. And when I rewatched the game, I really didn't notice him either, which, you know, I didn't study him much, but not noticing him is a good thing, because that means they're not catching balls on him, you know?
Right. I like him. I don't know the exact play, but there was a play in the fourth quarter where Kamal Haddon went and gave Jefferson a little what for at the snap of the ball. It was pretty good, you know, and he kind of gave him a hands to the face. I like that in a D-back, show some spunkiness. And I thought the few plays that I really zoomed in on him, I thought he held his own, you know. And I think he's been bouncing around a little bit, you know. I think the Packers, he was original training camp was with the Packers, if I'm not mistaken, and he bounced around a little bit. But I really like we're going to see what he looks like this week. You know, he's going to be thrown to the fire with, you know, the receivers they got over there. So it'll be interesting to see what they march out with. You know, I would think a stinger that Nixon's going to be playing, you know, unless it's his first stinger he's ever had in his entire life. It's that could be a little bit scary for him, but usually stingers, they're good enough. You're good enough to play the next week.
Yeah, I guess you don't know. But, yeah, I'm sure these long injury reports are going to shorten up come game day. Well, let's go to the other side of the ball. And what might end up being, I don't know, a significant development, or at least a development that, well, wasn't just a one-week thing, but that could improve their run game for the rest of the season. And that was playing Belton at right guard instead of Jordan Morgan. They split time in the first half, and then Belton played the entire second half. What'd you see there?
Was there any reason, you know, were you thinking, Pete, at all about, gosh, the second half, we seem to be running the ball a little better?
Well, I knew, I checked every series that started. So I knew Belton was out there each series in the second half. But yeah, he is a big man, and he can engulf those guys, just, you know, just kind of swarm them, a one-man swarm.
Yeah, I was a little bit concerned about his center of gravity and his pad level. I think last week you asked me, is he a guy that they could play guard? And I was like, geez, and when he was at tackle, he seemed to play with some pretty pretty high pad level, and I wasn't 100% sure that his center of gravity, you know, gives him the advantage at guard, because you got to sometimes, you know, those D tackles and stuff, especially those big boys, they, you know, they usually play a pretty good pad level, and that makes it difficult. And, you know, for a first year guy, you know, he certainly had a few of his mistakes. You know, there was the biggest one was the third and three in the third quarter there. That didn't go his way. He certainly missed completely, whiffed a block, and then ended up with a 2 or 3 yard loss there. But by and large, the run game improved because they got more than one or two guys getting a push. You know, and you couple that with the way that Sean Ryan has gotten a lot more comfortable. I was kind of looking for Sean Ryan to implode here this week, and that didn't happen. But Belton, I tell you what, that is a force. When he is a run blocker, there is no question about that. And you know, maybe they found the right spot for him to be a guard. And just, you know, he's a little bit heavier, but built similar to Elgton Jenkins. And Jenkins has seemed to be able to play guard okay. So I guess this might be a good spot for him. But I'll tell you what, you know, he certainly played, and the run game was affected when he entered the ball game. That's for sure.
How would you describe the difference between him and Morgan as run blockers?
Consistency. I think that Morgan sometimes doesn't react very well to movement from the D line. Gets himself in trouble and whiffs. I think sometimes also Morgan, his head's not on a swivel all the time. That's why I'm kind of curious if it was personnel or if it's the line calls with a new center, things are not lining up. Because sometimes, you know, when Morgan's in pass pro, you know, he's not even looking to the inside. So I don't know if he's thinking that the protection was going to slide his way, or he made a mistake and thought it was sliding that way, or if he just didn't know that he's got to protect the inside gap. I don't know, because I can't imagine it's that, because everybody from fifth grade on gets completely bludgeoned over the head that you have to protect the inside gap no matter what when you're playing offensive line. So it kind of leads me to believe that maybe there's some communication issues, or he is missing communications. I'm not sure, but I didn't see any much of that with Belton. But the other difference that in the run game is just, you know, Morgan just does not have the sheer power to get his hands on a guy and just drive him out of there, where Belton, he certainly has that, and can do it at the pad level. He was successful at the pad level he plays with. If he can figure out his pad level a little bit, he could be really something and really help this football team that needs a running game in the worst way.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, all that matters for now is the rest of the season. But I do wonder if, you know, does Belton end up being their right guard next year? And then, you know, assuming Rasheed Walker walks, do they, you know, can they play Morgan out at left tackle? And is that the makeup of their line? And then they just have to find a center or re-sign Ryan? I wonder about that. But you see Ryan as clearly – an upgrade from Jenkins, even after just two games, as an upgrade up from Jenkins as a run blocker at center.
Absolutely. I thought his the way that he launched himself out after the snap and the run in the pass, you know, I don't think he's any worse than Jenkins, that's for sure, and seems to be able to squat down and handle some of that stuff. And you know, it gets pretty tight in there, especially – you know, the Vikings were sending backers like crazy. Backer and a safety, and they sent cornerbacks. I mean, those guys were blitzing. And, boy, that makes it tough in there for a center when you got a big 300-plus man, and then you out of the corner of your eye, you see a linebacker coming through. And it's easy to give up both guys when you get brain locked like that. But I thought, you know, especially in the run game, his ability to root out guys and go and get to the second level and be effective at the linebacker depth, I think that is that's something that Jenkins really excelled at as a guard, and as a center, just then put it all together.
So what's your take on Emmanuel Wilson? What did he have? 20 – how many runs did he have? 28 for 107 yards?
Yep, 28 for 107.
What do you see in there? What do you see in there compared with Josh Jacobs having young legs, Wilson's young legs? That matters.
You know what? Coming into this football game, it was really exciting for me because I really wanted to see Emmanuel Wilson in a starting role, right? Where he's going to get first, second down snaps right out of the chute. You know, and sometimes when you come in off the bench, it's a little bit easier because there's no expectations. You just kind of, here's my package. I got a couple plays. Well, now you're the guy. And you're going to be thrown into the fire, and you got to produce. And the running part of it, in my opinion, I think was already there. We've seen that. We've seen that he's got young, fresh legs. He's kind of a one-cut-and-go guy. So he plants his foot. When he finds a gap, he plants his foot, and away he goes. Nice explosion out of the off the line. You know, once he gets through the line, there's not much hesitation, which I think some of the problems that Jacobs had this season was that the blocking wasn't always very good. So he got a little hesitant sometimes, where you see Wilson, he just puts his head down and just gets it done. And, you know, I really like that. But what I really wanted to see was, A, is he going to be able to pick up blitzing backers, safeties, cornerbacks, et cetera? Is he, you know, got the intestinal fortitude to stick his helmet in there on a D lineman and a linebacker that's coming hard? The other part, too, that I really wanted to see, if it wasn't an apparition, if it was, you know, the reality, coming out of the backfield and being able to catch the football and make positive yards, I think, you know, it's great. So he's really an all-around guy. You can keep him in there on third down if you want. I think, you know, they still have him handcuffed with Brooks back there because of his ability to protect the quarterback in the passing part. Certainly you can see with the ball in his hands, he's not as gifted as Wilson is. But I'll tell you, I had my eyes opened up. I was surprised that Wilson came out there and performed at the level that he did.
So how would you, when Jacobs returns, how do you handle their playing time? What kind of split do you have there?
Well, it depends on, you know, how bad that knee really is. I mean, if he's got some pain, you know, for morale level for your football team and also for the Lions now, they got a week of tape on Wilson. So I think you might go 50-50 on it just to keep the defense honest, and most importantly, not to just throw Jacobs back in there to a position where he could re-injure that thing. But I would say 50-50. I'd say, you know, those two guys, if you put them together, should touch the ball 20 to 25 times a game. I mean, that's where they're at.
So what do you think Thursday? This is a big game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lions are a game behind the Bears. Packers are a half game behind the Bears for the division lead. A ton of division games to go. The Packers have four division games to go for the rest of the season. Short layover. Both teams have a really good tight end who's not going to be playing, LaPorta and Tucker Kraft. What do you think here? I'll look up the point spread as we're talking, but I haven't seen the spread yet. What do you think the Packers' chances are? Who are you going to pick to win this one?
Well, I think it's a classic, you know, black and blue division slugfest. That's what it looks like on paper right now. You got two teams that are can throw the ball, but they're probably going to pound it at each other on the ground because that's kind of the MO, right? Let's keep the ball out of the Packers' offense and hands, and let's try and grind it out and run some play action and catch them sleeping on occasion. They got some pretty gifted wide receivers over there, so that's going to make it difficult. And they both have, you know, the Packers and the Lions both have solid defenses. So, you know, it could be just a slugfest, you know. It could be a 17-10 game or 20-17 game. And, you know, people saying it's a yawner, but those kind of games for me are awesome. I love the chess match of offensive, defensive coordinators. I love watching the adjustments that happen or lack of adjustments that happen at halftime or as the game develops. So there's some good stuff. And I think that this game could end up being just an old-fashioned slugfest. I think for the Packers to be successful, Jordan Love's going to have a Jordan Love-type game. You know, he's going to have to be able to stand in the pocket, which we've seen him get progressed, you know, and even with the bum shoulder last week, or excuse me, on Sunday, he certainly, you know, he stood in there, and I was pretty impressed by that. That is, he's not getting happy feet, so that's progressing, and now, if Belton can add a layer of comfort to Love, I think that gives them the opportunity then to you know, for him to let it rip, and that's really what they need. They need, and the other thing too, Pete, we haven't even talked about is, you know, you always worry about a wide receiver that's coming back after an ACL, and you're thinking, he's going to be okay the first year. It's the second year back when he's, you know, back to 100%. I think he's better than ever at this point, Pete. I mean, his hands are better. The part that really shows what kind of fabric this guy is made of is that he is not the same guy before he got hurt. I mean, he is visibly thicker upstairs, and he has his ability to go up and get those 50-50 balls, that touchdown catch in the end zone, that is sheer strength. When you got a D-back in there with his hand in between you and the ball and come down with that thing and hang on to it, I mean, that's the part where his offseason and his inability to practice, he used his time in the weight room to progress and become a better wide receiver. And you know, I think poor Mr. Dobbs, his targets have decreased because of the comeback of Watson. So, you know, it would be nice to have him have a huge game, you know, 8-9 catches for 1.5 and a couple of teddies would really help. But it's really going to come down to, in my opinion, is going to be the play of Jordan Love. And can he feel comfortable in the pocket and hit receivers? Because there will be guys open. He's just got to hit them.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Watson, I looked at – so he had 7 targets.
Yep.
All of them were out routes. They were all – and he caught 5 of them. And the 5 that he caught were on target, and the 2 that he didn't catch, you know, he couldn't even get a hand on. But they were all – you know, like as you and I were talking when we were talking about our column this morning on the phone, when we were talking, it was, you know, his stuff was always deep shots or real quick throws where they hope he could catch it and, you know, run for 50 yards. But these were all possession catches, converted 2 third downs. They were all between catches from between like 5 and maybe 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. Like he's got to be their number one now, right? I mean, he's their best guy. Is there even any question at this point?
No, not at all. Not at all. He's a wide receiver one out there right now. And, you know, Dobbs has kind of had that possession moniker slapped on his back. But I think those tables have turned. I think the number one look is Watson. And, you know, you got some, you know, good role receivers. It'd be nice if one of the other guys could really step up. You know, Wicks needs to take a step up. He runs such good routes. It'd be nice if his hands were sure as his ability to run a route. You know, and it'd be really great if Golden can kind of come back in and open things up. And Savion Williams, they can utilize his size. I know that the hard part with him is that, you know, he doesn't practice much during the week because of the injury to his lower leg. But, man, you know, I think he's got some very untapped talent there. I know it's got to be kind of basic for him at this point, but I think there's a lot there. But what I'm looking for this week now, so you saw a bunch of out routes, right? So what do you do this week? You run the first. You run an out route.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the double move. So we'll see if that opens up along the sideline as the game progresses in Detroit. And certainly those guys are going to be looking for the out route now because they know that he can catch it and he can get down and dig them out if he needs to. And also, you know, has the body control if it's got to be on the sideline to get his feet down. So, you know, that guy, he certainly has helped his team, on Sunday. And I guess going forward, you know, I think his season is just starting off.
Yeah. So, obviously Golden did not play last week. He had a shoulder and wrist injury. This week they listed him as they didn't practice today, but if they would have, he would have been limited with the wrist. And same for Jaden Reed with the, you know, he's coming back from a broken foot and a broken collarbone. So I don't know. I'm thinking Golden's probably got a chance to play this week, I would think. Reed just started practicing last Friday. He missed 2 months. When guys miss that much, you know, they usually want him practicing for a week before they play. They won't be practicing at all this week. It was nothing today. It'll be a walkthrough on Tuesday. And then, you know, nothing on Wednesday, or, you know, another walkthrough on Wednesday, and then the game Thursday. So I'd be stunned if Reed is back this week, but I would think there's a really good chance, you know, I would think he'll be back the week after. So what do you think they'll have with Golden, Reed, and Watson, and then Dobbs, I guess, would, you know, those would be their best four. What do you think they'll have there once Reed and Golden come back, and once Reed gets into playing shape? Is there anything special there? Because they're missing Kraft. Can those guys make up for it?
Absolutely. I like Reed with getting him the ball short and letting him do his stuff and get the yards after the catch and turn, you know, 10-yard, 5-yard crossing patterns into 10, 15-yard gains. I think he's a good player, and I think he's had some problems with his hands a little bit, but maybe they can throw him the ball first play of the game, let him drop it, so he gets that out of his system, and then go for it. But there is, I think there's a little bit there to be afraid of if you're a defensive coordinator and you got your, you know, the first third down, those are the four receivers you got across from you. You know, are they? They're certainly not, you know, not known, well-known commodities as being the best group out there, and certainly they've had their problems hanging on to the football. But I think Jaden Reed is he's a piece that this offense has been missing for a long time. And you looked at last year, many teams obviously thought he was their most potent receiver because the game plans were obviously skewed to take him away. And then, you know, Christian Watson was able to make you pay. So I think there's something there if they have all four of those guys on the field at the same time, or at least at their disposal, that they could do a lot of different things, and they could do, you know, and we really haven't seen Reed as just a strictly wide receiver. He's always been coming out of the backfield and getting end around and all that kind of stuff. I think his strength is downfield, and hopefully when he returns that he'll be able to do some of those things and get things done and kind of take over that middle part of the football field in between the hashes and stuff where they've been, you know, they're missing Kraft in that area.
Yeah, they are. So Lions are a 3-point favorite. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say the Packers are going to win this football game. Absolutely. I really do. I think there's a lot of things going in. I think the fact that they were able to play possum in the second half, you know, that's kind of the term I've always used. All right, the offense, you guys can play possum now and just clock this game. And, you know, I think that helped them. That helped especially knowing, you know, if they didn't have to have that quarterback running all over the field and needing him to get things done. I really feel like I think the Packers are going to get this one. I think the defense is too much for Detroit, and I think the offense is going to do just enough.
You know, I'm still not, you know, just not sure that I trust the Packers to back up playing a pretty good game with another one. I mean, it's a week-to-week league, so that's probably not good thinking. But, you know, Detroit, that place is going to be – that is a really loud stadium, and on Thanksgiving Day – It's gonna be wild. The Lions need a win badly, so I don't know. I'm probably gonna pick the Lions by 27, 24, something like that. But I wouldn't be at all shocked if the Packers won. And who knows? Maybe Jordan Love will play like he did 2 years ago on Thanksgiving. That was kind of the coming out party. His first year as a starter was that Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit. Yeah. He played great that day, and they ran those guys off the field.
And maybe he'll have that opportunity again. I think the reality is this, is if they can get Goff moving around in the pocket, that ball is going to come up. You know, he's not as fleet as, you know, he'll get you the one or, you know, once or twice a game, he'll run for a first down. And everyone will say, well, you know, he's not a running quarterback. No, you know, he's not. He is not a running quarterback. He is not fleet of foot. And he is similar to the Statue of Liberty. And if you could get him moving, then you're going to be in great shape. If the Packers aren't able to get any pressure, or if they refuse to heat them up with blitzing safeties and linebackers, then you know it could come down to a old fashioned slugfest where you know the Packers lose out. But and I think they're going to be just fine. I think they got to heat them up. They can't just rely on four. And if they're able to do that, you know, 2 years ago when the Packers beat them there on Thanksgiving Day, what happened? A whole bunch of turnovers, interceptions.
Yeah, Goff fumbled a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they got to do again. They got to get after him. They're going to pin their ears back and make sure they get him on the ground.
You know, he looked in that opener this year, he just looked flummoxed because Parsons had a great game and they just chased him out of the pocket. He looked – that's as bad as he's looked in the last couple of years. But I got to think that they'll have a better plan for the Packers this week. That experience, that still has to sting them. I got to think Dan Campbell will come up with a better plan this week.
Yeah, that's fine. I hope they do. I hope it's a good game. But, you know, geez, Micah Parsons is just he's worth four first round picks.
He is.
You know, you say, well, he's only got 12 sacks or 10 sacks or 11 sacks, whatever it is. Who cares? Look at all the, you know, there are two downs where the pass rush, they got turnovers off, two interceptions, both of them based on the pass rush. So there's, high tides rises all boats. And I as long as he's healthy, as long as number one is on the field, they got a shot. And I feel really strongly that if they really get after Goff, that it'll be done early.
Well, like you, I am really looking forward to this game. I just think it's going to be super interesting. And
the hard part, Pete, for this football game, the hard part is going to be staying awake. You know, I'm going to have, by the time
half. Well, how about not gorging yourself?
It's Thanksgiving, Pete.
I know.
And it's just open up your mouth and shovel it in as fast as you can and as much as you can. You know, it's just.
So do you eat before the game? You don't eat after?
It depends on what time the game starts, but
noon start. They don't start this at 11:30 anymore. It's a noon start.
Yeah, I'll have a couple of belt spots loosened on my belt, and probably my belt undone by the time kickoff rolls around. So after the first quarter, it's going to be keep the coffee pot rolling.
I'm guessing the game will be interesting enough where you won't have any issues staying awake. So with that, I think we need to wrap this up here. But just want to say thanks to everybody for listening in. Glad you think we're worth your time to download, and remind you that we'll be back again on actually Friday. It'll probably post. Saturday morning. Actually, it'll probably post our column, the After Further Review column, and this podcast. So give you a little extra reading over the weekend and listening to check that out.
Dude, it's like buy one, get one. You get two podcasts and two columns in 1 week.
I know.
Packer fans, how could they be more lucky?
What a good deal. I'm with you there. So, yeah, lots of this is a great, great football week. So lots to look forward to. I always like it when the Packers play the Lions on Thanksgiving at Detroit, even though it takes me away from home for Thanksgiving, it's still a pretty neat way to spend the day. So,
The nostalgia of it and the focus on it. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's big stuff. National TV audience, all that. And this will draw a big crowd because two good teams going at it. So thanks again, everyone. And remind you to, here's a reminder to tune in again on Saturday, or if you have to wait till Monday, it'll still be posted. Until then, I just want to say to take care to everybody. Glad you took the time to download and listen. And you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete, and happy Thanksgiving.
Be good.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.